Welcome back in, hour number three. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we are pleased to be joined by our friend Mitch Light from The Athletic. Mitch, as we discussed earlier, once Jace McCabe walks in this building, the two people that can fire Joe Rex Road will be here at the same time.
You could double fire me with him if you want.
You could really just take the axe to him immediately.
Yeah, I know Chase can. I don't know, you know, while I'm Joe's editor and technically I guess I'm your supervisor.
You can get me fired?
Get you fired. I don't think I can fire you. Thank you. Yeah. That's okay. But now I do know when I text Joe in the morning all the time and he doesn't get back to me, now I know he's actually doing something.
So, it's not just a joke.
Yeah, it's like every 15 minutes or whatever the segments are, 12 minutes, Joe gets back to me. So now I know you.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, exactly.
You've got a day job.
Just email HR.
Okay. That's right.
I will.
Well, Mitch, we're excited to have you here today. Going to join us for the next hour here to discuss a little college football. And, boys, there's a lot to talk about on that front. Let's just start with the Nick Saban comments from last night. We were just discussing this, and Joe had his Rex rant about this, about Nick Saban and his comments on Texas A&M and NIL, basically saying that Texas A&M bought all their players and that, I don't know, in the future, you know, Alabama's done things the right way, but they may not be able to sustain all this. What do you make of Saban and those comments last night that, obviously, I mean, it's been all over ESPN this morning. It's generating a ton of reaction everywhere.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys are like me, but, you know, you might go to bed a little bit earlier because you have the morning show, but I'm, you know, watching Joe's Warriors last night run it up.
Looked pretty good.
And, you know, on my phone, every once in a while, I'll pick things, and then I'm like, oh, this is interesting. And then we have, like, our Slack channels at work, our college football, you know, Slack channels, and, like, we need to do something on this, and then you see the responses, and then, like, this is going to be a story. And, you know, Nick Saban doesn't say things for no reason. You know, at first you're like, what was it like a, it wasn't a, was it a booster event or like a quarterback club type thing?
Yeah, it was promoting the World Games in Birmingham.
Okay, yes. So like 20 years ago, 30 years ago, when like Phil Fulmer or, you know, Gene Stallings was on the off-season tour, they would go, they'd speak to a bunch of boosters and they'd say a whole bunch of stuff. That was like the whole Free Shoes University thing with Spurrier. It might get out. A lot of times it didn't. But nowadays, obviously, with internet, so phones recording, and there was an actual Alabama beat writer there. I think the guy who tweeted out
Rodak,
it was from AL.com. And that was the first thing. It's like, you know, Joe, as you know, a tweeter of press conferences, you can tweet an excerpt of something and it might be misconstrued. That was not misconstrued. Like, there was video of it, so there's no walking that back. Not that Nick Saban wants to walk it back, so, you know, the whole thing is fascinating. You know, a couple weeks ago, Andy Staples, did you read that story? He had an in-depth story. He went to College Station and talked to the people there about, you know, kind of debunked that myth, rumor that they bought all their players. They said, sure, the NIL was involved, but they're I'm kind of on a tangent here, but the point was, like, we couldn't mobilize that quickly to pay all these guys. You know, what it's going to do is set us up for the future. Does Alabama – did all of their guys just sign with the University of Alabama because they want to wear the crimson and play for Alabama? A lot of them do. You know, their track record going to the NFL. So there's a lot of charcoal. And to quote my friend Fletch, you know, gray area, there's a lot of charcoal in college football.
Yes.
So, like, I don't – none of us really know who to believe, but it just adds so much – like, what the meetings in Destin are, what, in like 2 weeks? I mean, that's
going to
be –
oh, yeah.
That is going to be fantastic. So my long-winded answer is saying it's great for us in the media. It's great. You know, Alabama fans are fired up. Texas A&M fans are super fired up. And, you know, I'm sure Nick Saban doesn't love the fact that a team that he's going to play every year just signed, what, seven top 125 defensive linemen? You know, it wasn't just their class was incredible.
Oh, yeah.
The most important position in football other than quarterback is defensive line. And go to 247 Sports and look at their class. There's just monsters on the defensive line.
So do you buy into, and we were talking about this in the last segment, Tennessee fans have thrown this out there, but a lot of people have thrown this out there of, you know, as you said, Saban doesn't say things for no reason. Do you think that he's worried about the trajectory of the sport in terms of not the, you know, I love the good old days of amateur football, but the gap is closing and that other teams are closing the gap on Alabama because of NIL and recruiting?
Yeah, I think on both fronts. I do think there's something to that. This guy, you know, we can be cynical, but this guy spent 50 years in college football, or most of it in college football, some in the NFL, and he wants the good of the game. He wants the sport to flourish after he retires, but in the immediate future, he wants to keep winning national championships, and he has a a huge advantage with what he's built there. Now you can roll your eyes and say, well, they're surely, you know, they've done some things in recruiting. Every school does stuff in recruiting, but why would, you know, it's just natural for him to be concerned about something that it's going to allow some of his competitors to close the gap. And, you know, Texas A&M has closed the gap talent-wise. Now, they haven't won anything yet, and someone just posted, I was looking on Twitter, a great little graphic about Kevin Sumlin's first X amount of games and Jimbo Fisher's X amount of games, and wins were the same, and, you know, road wins. Sumlin had a lot more road wins, and so it's clear with the money they're paying Texas Jimbo Fisher, at some point in the very near future, he needs to win some games.
So, well, the thing with Texas A&M also is, by the way, they've been rolling, and not to this extent, but they've had, what, top five classes?
Top six classes in a row before this.
Yeah, okay. So
it's no shock
what
that they're,
was happening right. then. And maybe some of the same stuff that has been happening at a lot of places.
Yeah, and people will make comments about living in College Station, but, you know, I've been there for a football game. It's a great environment. I don't know why you, like, it might not be your cup of tea, but I don't know why you wouldn't want to go play at Texas A&M. It's got great tradition. It's, you know, the best student, you know, what, the largest student crowd. And, you know, they have like 42,000 student tickets. Yeah. It's not like this is happening at, and no shot at Missouri, but a school like maybe that doesn't have the tradition or they don't have the history and all that stuff. Texas A&M is one of the weirder places in college football because it has everything except, like, you look at why haven't they done it, and maybe they're about to do it. Now, they've poured so much money into the facilities, and, you know, I used to say it's more than that, but a school like Texas A&M doesn't spend $750 million on facilities to finish in third place in the SEC West.
I mean, you know, the whole, like, who wants to live there? Anybody ever been to State College, Pennsylvania?
Right.
There is no reason to ever go there, let alone live there. But these college, huge public universities are, it's a world of their own.
So, right. I think here we're, spoiled's not the right word, but like people in Tennessee, like Knoxville is a city. You know, Columbia, South Carolina is a city. But other than that, most SEC towns are what you think of when you think of a college town.
Mitch, we had Philip Fulmer on yesterday, and he was talking about NIL and the direction that it's headed. And, you know, obviously, you know, Fulmer's an old school guy and had concerns about what this could mean as they move forward. I'm curious from your perspective, now that you've seen NIL unfold now for a while, what do you think of it? What do you think of the direction of college football? And do you think that this ever kind of gets, you know, Fulmer used the term regulated or scaled back a little bit. Do you think that ever happens with NIL moving forward?
I think I'm like everyone else. I just don't know. I mean, I'm concerned a lot of things for – I think there's some of it that's great for college football and some of it's not good for college football. I think these guys should be able to profit off their name, image, and likeness. I don't like – I think I'm probably like a lot of coaches and fans of schools. Like, I don't like the recruiting inducement part of it, and that's the way it was written. It's not being enforced that way. And I'll use Tennessee as a great example. Like, Hendon Hooker had a great year last year. He – more than maybe anyone is the reason for that, the profile of that program rising and, you know, a fun place to go play now. He should be able to make all the money that car dealerships or whatever want to pay him. That's what NIL should be about. Inducing a kid to go there for X amount of $X million is not what NIL should be about. It should be about the guys who are there. And I think that's Nick Saban's point. He was like, you know, Bryce Young should be able to make a lot of money because he's the quarterback of the University of Alabama. When you're doing it to bring recruits in, it's a slippery slope. I maybe I'm naive. I do think over the next few years there will be some sort of legislation enforcement, but I you know, right now it's hard. It's difficult to sit here and say right now how it's going to be enacted, but I just I think at some point, whether it's the Power Five, the six, top 65 teams breaking off and having their own enforcement, I don't know what it's going to look like. But
like
Joe, I don't know what you
like
think.
A salary cap?
I don't know. I mean, I like the fact that the current players are able to make money. I don't like the fact that it's being used to induce, and that's the right word, induce recruits.
I know we have to go to break, but let me just say, I couldn't disagree more with you.
Well, okay. We'll get to that coming up next. We'll get Joe's retort coming up on the other side. We've got Mitch Light from The Athletic in with us here for the next hour, talking all thing college football. We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Attention, men, have you been struggling with erectile dysfunction? Well, Hillside Medical Clinic has a breakthrough treatment for ED that does not require any pills. pills, injections, or surgery. And right now, Andrew joins me from Hillside Medical Clinic to tell us all about it. Andrew, what's going on?
Well, that's right. This is a major game changer, guys. If you're frustrated in the bedroom experiencing erectile dysfunction, likely your blood vessels are a little bit damaged. Hillside Medical Clinic uses the most advanced form of wave therapy. Pressure waves basically come out of the device through the skin into the blood vessels, clinically causing those blood vessels to widen. You can imagine that does great things to life in the bedroom, more blood flow, more circulation without the use of pills.
So, Andrew, what kinds of clinical studies have been done on this technology?
It is extensive. We're approaching 60 clinical studies. Imagine that. Colleges and universities all over the world have studied this, called it safe and effective. They have said that this is even the new standard of care for erectile dysfunction.
And Andrew, you got a special offer for our listeners. Call in right now.
We do. ED, guys, it doesn't go away on its own. In fact, it might get worse. Call us now. We'll set you up with the exam, the assessment, even the ultrasound, totally free. There's zero obligation to this, by the way. You'll also get a powerful gift that produces immediate results in the bedroom. You'll love it. Call us now. It's all no charge.
That's right, guys. You can put a stop to your erectile dysfunction by treating the root cause of the problem. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now to qualify for that offer at 615-576-5000. That's 615-576-5000. Put a stop to your ED and regain your love life. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now at 615-576-5000.
And you've read about them. You know who they are. I mean, we were second in recruiting last year. A&M was first. A&M bought every player on their team, made a deal for name, image, and likeness. All right, we didn't buy one player. All right, but I don't know if we're going to be able to sustain that in the future because more and more people are doing it.
You ever been to a game here? You ever come to school here and see the education? You ever talk about the 12th man, the Aggie Network when you're done? There ain't a better university in this country. It's insulting to what you say. And all these, and we got writers who have said it and done it off sliced bread. A guy named Sly who made it up. Love to see who sliced bread is and put it out there with sliced bread. Let me find out where it comes from. And then to have coaches in our league and across this league to say it, clown acts. All right? Irresponsible as hell. Multiple coaches in our league. And the guy's griping about NIL, griping about transfer portal, using it the most and bragging about it the most. That's the ironic part. You want character? I'll take it with any of y'all. It's a joke. It does piss me off.
That was Jimbo Fisher earlier this offseason. I forgot about the sliced bread. God, it's amazing. I can't wait for Jimbo Fisher's response to Nick Saban. It's going to be just incredible. Somebody needs to get a microphone in front of his face today.
Well, you know who else is going to chime in today? The guy he was referring to in that soundbite too, Lane Kiffin.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure Lane's going to have a...
Oh, yeah.
Some sort of take.
Oh, there's no question.
And then once Heupel gets going,
it's really going to get in
so outspoken. That guy just can't shut him up.
That's right. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, and Mitch Light here with you, talking all things college football for the next hour. So, Joe, you have a retort to what Mitch threw out there in the last segment.
You disagree with me?
I mean, I've got multiple grievances to air right now.
Festivus.
Well, first of all, in our off the air coming in, we were talking about the Kentucky thing. Like you're talking in general about we don't know exactly what to believe. You went with the idea, you know, Calipari, okay, had a certain reputation, right? Memphis went to Kentucky. I mean, basically when he went to Kentucky, everybody's like, "Oh, so Kentucky's like, we need to cheat more," right? I mean, that was But maybe with all the success, guys going to the NBA, then that stops. Again, I totally disagree. If you're forced to be in college for a year, you have multiple options of places where you can be comfortable for that year. You're going to be comfortable for that year. Your family's going to get something, and you should. And this goes to my big grievance. I 100% disagree that it's bad that they get induced and get paid to play. You know how much work it takes to get to the point where you're a top recruit in the country? You have to have an incredible amount of talent. You have to develop the talent. You have something very valuable to offer. Now, you may be overpaid, and there's going to be –
That's not your fault.
It's not your fault. Yeah. I'm sorry, but, like, I always go with, like, the Belmont, like the kid writing the song, and you get paid $1 million for the country singer. Well, what's wrong, right? But that's more what you're talking about.
But he's already at Belmont maybe making that song.
Agree. But you know
using
what?
Using their equipment, using their great sound. You know, I don't know the terminology because I'm not a writer or musician.
Sound
their
stuff.
Sound stuff.
Right. No, and I agree, look, I agree that like the Hendon Hooker story is the best story of NIL. You know, the athlete on campus who, like, and maybe I think with Hendon Hooker, I don't know that he's going to be an NFL quarterback. But he actually is going to be like have a nest egg now.
Right, he will make some money for his what he's done for that university.
Yep, absolutely. So I agree. That's a, but like I'm totally fine with if you have that to offer and you are that in a billion multi-billion dollar industry and you have that much value, why can't you get paid up front for it?
Okay, I that's a fair point. I just disagree. I think it's get your money once you get there and prove your worth to that school.
But you can't be surprised. Look, I'm
not surprised by anything.
Yeah, I'll speak for myself. Okay. I'm surprised by the numbers.
Yes,
the amounts that have already skyrocketed. But yeah, okay. I mean, we're not surprised that this is happening, right?
Yeah, I'm older than you by maybe a year or two, so I'll play the old man. That. You know, back in my day, if I were a coach. The thing that would just – I mean, a lot of this would just – their jobs are more difficult with NIL and transfer portal and all this stuff. It's the locker room chemistry type thing because this stuff's been going on for years. My son should be playing over this kid, this other kid. But, like, if you're a wide receiver there and you think you're better than Joe Rexroad who's starting and Joe has all this NIL stuff – and then this dad gets involved, and he's calling. There's just so many more headaches and so much more locker room issues now. Who was it? It was Steve Sarkisian, Sam Kahn. Our we call him our
Texpert.
Does a great job. He went to the Houston Touchdown Club yesterday and wrote a story off of Steve Sarkisian's appearance there. And someone asked,
"How
him,
was that? Did he apparently wasn't as eventful.
It wasn't as spicy? He made it clear though that they want Arch Manning really, really bad.
Yes.
But the point was that about locker room chemistry, and of course Sarkisian's not going to come out and say it's going to blow up the locker room. His point was that Bijan Robinson, their outstanding running back, I think he's a rising junior now, but All-America talent, he's been hurt a lot. I think it's a Lamborghini, has a deal with some car, and he's like, well, he deserves that because he's a fine young man, he's a great presence in our locker room, and our other guys see that, and they know something to strive for. I mean, that's total coach speak there. But like, let's say, you know, Bijan Robinson's among the most talented players in the country, but let's say a wide receiver who's not as talented, and I'm just making this up, gets this. What does that do to the locker room? And again, you can sit there and say I'm being naive and all that and an old man, but I don't think that part of it's great for the sport.
One thing that I'm interested about that I want to get both your thoughts on, some of the money that's being tossed around right now is just insane. I mean, we've talked about the $8 million quarterback and all that stuff. I'm interested to see, as this continues to evolve here, does the money stay the same? Does the money grow? Does the money get scaled back a little bit? Because, Mitch, you know this. I mean, there are going to be guys coming in that get paid millions of dollars that totally flop and yeah. don't work out, and it's a waste of money. You don't get your return on investment if you're the collective or that program, whatever, however lens you want to view it through. I'm interested to see if the money stays the same or if it eventually gets scaled back. What are your thoughts on the amount of money that's being thrown around here, and how do you think that evolves as NIL continues to move forward here?
Oh, I'm like you guys. You know, the money part of it has surprised me in the amount getting thrown out. And I do you think the money will dry up? That's my thing. Like, if a collective A is raising $30 million a year for a recruiting class, is that sustainable? Maybe it is at some places. Maybe it's not. Maybe certain people, the donor A who's given $10 million a year is going to be like, look, here's what I've done. We've used it, me and the staff, to get these ex-recruits, and they haven't panned out. To kind of your
so
point.
So I'm scaling back my
– right. Yeah, maybe. But if enough people do that, then where does the money come from? Here, and I'm – in addition to being Joe's editor, I am the recruiting editor at The Athletic. So I deal with Ari Wasserman, our recruiting writer, and I've really...
What do you mean deal with him? You work joyfully with him.
Deal with Ari. My third child, Ari Wasserman.
That's right.
We have a podcast, a quick plug, called Stars Matter. It's a recruiting podcast. And every week I do a trivia question. It's just kind of like fodder to talk about certain things. And here's one I did yesterday, and this is to your point. Robbie, how many of the top 30 quarterbacks in the 2019 recruiting classes are projected starters at the school which they signed heading into 2022?
Ooh, that's a great one.
I'm going to guess 8.
Okay, top 30.
Top 30. It's a class of 2019. So
it's a total guess.
So it's their fourth year on campus.
Yeah, that's not bad. But I'll go even lower. I'll go 5.
It's 5. With an asterisk. Well, Sam Howell started for 3 years and is in the NFL.
Okay.
Yeah. It's Graham Mertz at Wisconsin's number 5. Max Duggan at TCU is number 10. Hank Bachmeyer at Boise State. Cade McNamara and KJ Jefferson. Point being, it's rare when a top 200, 300 quarterback that you sign is your starting quarterback at that school 3 or 4 years down the line. So is it a wise investment to put your money in that position? It's the most important position in the sport, but it's also a position which only one person can play, and there's a lot of guys who bust.
Yeah, but and Ubben kind of made me, David Ubben, you know, of course, who covers college football for us, he kind of changed my mind on this. He's like, because I've kind of thought, like, oh, it's going to course correct a little bit, right? But, I mean, look at the money. I mean, look at the facilities money that gets raised, that has gotten raised. You know what I mean? It's just that there are some people who just have incredible resources, and this is their life.
And, that gets to the issue that for years why schools have pushed back on this is because they feared once the players get paid – that money that was going to the school is going to the players.
To which I say, which is finally fine
because there's a cap on how much you should do facility wise. You know, always you make fun of like the golf course, the putt putt course at Clemson or the waterfalls. You don't need that, but they were getting this money and they have to do something with it. So if there's if there's a 50% scale back in money being raised for facilities and that goes to the players, that's great. But it's just the school can't control it. But then you get the whole other thing about funding other sports, you know, the Olympic sports and all that, which is it's an issue. Those sports, you know, talk to administrators. That's the biggest drain on departments is funding the Olympic sports.
Also, by the way, that's why they're tax exempt because they have those sports. There's a minimum requirement for offering those sports, which allows them to maintain nonprofit status. I mean, it's all, you know, it's all interconnected, and that's an important thing to preserve. I can talk about this all day. I know we have to go to break. One thing I want to bring up in the locker room thing, because I hear what you're saying. On the locker room, you know, guys are going to be, you know, this guy's making this much, and I'm better than that guy. First of all, I mean, there have been guys who people know in the locker room are getting paid by – X booster or whatever came
driving a car that they didn't show up 3 years ago to campus.
Yeah, so like there's already been some dynamic there. I will say though that what is different is that this becomes public knowledge. So now they know that the media knows this guy got $8 million or whatever, or the fans know. So it's so I think because it's more publicly discussed, I do think that's probably something that I underrated going in.
And the pressure on the coaches to.
Right, like you're not going to play the guy who got. You know, I paid this much money. We got this guy, and you're not paying him.
Right.
What are you doing, coach? But also,
is that your collective voice?
Yeah,
your head of collective voice.
But also, again, I'm going to also go again to boosters meddling. I mean, there's a lot of things that like we've had in college football.
Right? Yeah, it's just more out in the
it's
open
just on
now.
Steroids.
Yeah,
but not literally steroids.
No,
although maybe those
those aren't allowed.
That's right.
Unlike the other stuff, which is now allowed.
That's right. We've got Mitch Light in studio for the rest of the 8 o'clock hour, talking all things college football. We'll take your thoughts 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll get into the outlook for Tennessee and Vanderbilt coming up later this hour as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, 1063, The Game.
NCAA, you got a little problem. Let me explain. See, with the NILs, which really ain't NIL because there ain't no name, image, and likeness. It's just pay-per-view right now. That's what they doing to the big boys. Little boys, we can't compete with that. But anyway, you got a problem. See, when you start paying athletes like they're professionals, you get athletes acting like they're professionals. And you don't have staffs large enough and equipped enough to handle a young man with money. Let me go deeper. Handle a young man that's making more money than some of the coaches on staff. You got a real problem. So I suggest to you to allow college teams to hire more qualified men, qualified, that could handle these young men that's getting this money.
That was Deion Sanders, a.k.a. Coach Prime, apparently speaking from Niagara Falls somewhere.
Or in the shower.
Was that like Clemson's locker room with waterfalls?
It could have been.
Alabama's the one with the waterfalls.
Oh, shoot. Get it right.
Clemson has the putting green. Mini golf.
Ah,
yeah.
Dang it.
Come on, Joe.
Fire me.
Who's got the chocolate fountain? That's what I want to know. Go find one of those. Lazy River.
Actually, what?
Willy Wonka.
There is.
Is there?
But there is a Lazy River, right?
I thought, yeah.
Yeah, that might be Clemson as well.
Is that right? Okay.
It's not Jackson State.
See, Dabo just want. I just want to keep. I don't want the players getting money. I just want to keep building in ridiculous buildings.
But that's interesting what Deion said there, because at Jackson State, they don't have the money.
Yep.
I would argue that at most P5 schools, their staffs are big enough. Now, is there someone whose job is to work with young Joe Rexroad about his money? Maybe there is now, but the support staffs keep getting bigger and bigger at all these schools. So I would disagree with Coach Prime that there are the resources, again, at the P5 schools to deal with that.
Yeah. Well, look, that should have been – I mean, you talk about things that are important for support, and like Vanderbilt has, it's pretty extensive, right, what they do. I mean, that should be one of the top priorities, is like life skills, right? Also, you know, I mean, there's just, you know, think about like academically, although I know A&M has fantastic programs, but just like how many players are, you know, talked out of certain majors because it messes with the football, right? Look. They're part of a big machine. They're very important. They are cogs in the machine. This is, again, why I say if they get money coming in, great. Every dollar they can get. Why does it matter if do you think that there's for the $8 million quarterback, who knows who it may be, you know, do you think that on that particular whatever staff that may be, in whatever city it may be, do you think that, like, there's coaches there right now who are ticked off because this incoming quarterback makes more than them? Do you think they're mad, or do you think they're like, oh, good, he's coming, and now maybe we can win next year?
And maybe I'll get a better job, or I'll get a promotion. You know, there's one thing. There's not every member of a staff are created equally, obviously. You have all college position coaches at P5 schools make a lot of money. But you've got some, not just grad assistant, you have some ops guys and some quality control people. I don't know what they make, $37,000, and they're like haven't seen the sun except at practice for like 7 months.
Exactly,
you know, that's the one thing that, like, and this is sort of a different topic, and I'm not defending Dabo at all, but the coaches who are making the money now, the older guys, at least 40, 50, 60, they got it. Truly, they got into it because they love coaching. They're making a ton of money now, but when they started, you know, when Nick Saban was at, he was at Toledo, what do you think he was making in the 90s? You know, $125,000?
Yeah.
So, like,
which is still a,
it's still good money. But the point is, like, these guys have grinded, and a lot of them have been quality control, and they've worked their way up. Now, there might be a lot of people, young former football players, now getting into coaching because of the money, and maybe we'll see what the landscape looks like in 20 years. So that's one thing that, like, when people compare the now Ryan Day making that money and all these coaches compared to what the players are not getting, I will say that these guys are at the top of their profession in the entire world, and they've paid their dues. Do you agree with that?
I do, but again, with the whole paid your dues thing, so why don't we get mad when Tiger Woods is a prodigy at a young age and makes millions, or the gymnast who makes millions at a young age? I mean, if you have that to offer, whatever age you are, whatever situation, it's a free market.
Right, and that's good. With Suni Lee, the gymnast at Auburn now, like, this, she would not be at Auburn 5 years or 3 years ago.
Right.
And now she is, and you know, I've seen Auburn gymnastic highlights on, you know, TV because of her, and it's better for Auburn. It's better for the sport.
There you go.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in David from Nashville, who wants to weigh in. David, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Yeah, first of all, steroids, there's nothing wrong with them.
Okay.
You guys, hear me out. I'm going to baseball games to see home runs. But on the flip side, you give me $1 million, I can double my bench press and squat by Christmas. So I look at it both sides. I sometimes think they're good, other times just do it naturally. Okay, but back to the name, image, and likeness. turn the kids loose, let them make as much money as they can. If somebody wants to pay them $1 million and their business only makes $10 million, that's on them making poor business decisions.
Yeah, I mean, that's the key point. Like,
agree.
Name, image, and likeness.
Wait, what do you agree with?
The
second part. Okay. I didn't catch the first part.
I'm just checking.
90, I didn't know where we were going for a second.
90% of the people who are, whether it's to a collective or a business who are doing this, they're not necessarily doing it, I don't know what the number is, 90%, 75%, to enhance their business. They're doing it because they're a booster, and it's legal now. Would you agree with that? Like,
yeah.
I mean, if we talked off the air, if someone wanted to pay Enrique Bradfield, Vanderbilt baseball player, to promote their car dealership. I mean, are they getting their money's worth? I don't know. They're probably just a Vanderbilt baseball fan who wants to help a kid playing baseball. So that's the thing about my retort when they say, well, these aren't good business decisions because you're pouring X amount of money into your promoting your business. Well, that's not really the end game here. It's helping the university that you want to support.
Yep. Now, maybe Pals has just blown up thanks to Fulkerson, you know?
Maybe.
Or whatever. Right, Pals? Is that what it's called?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I imagine there could be some enhancement there. But, yeah, that's not the primary point with Muslim. It's amazing to me, and this goes way back, just how many people there are who have so much money that they can do these things. Isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, man.
Yes. There's
good
there's,
for y'all.
Bad for us, good for y'all. Yeah.
That's right. I'm still trying to figure out where David was going with the first part of that call, but that's okay.
Yeah, what was that?
Steroids?
Roids, you know, maybe good. Say, whatever.
I don't know enough about steroids to
tell you.
Watching
Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa was fun. I'll give him that.
Hey, worked out. Hit a lot of bombs.
Yeah. There is an upside to steroids.
Yeah.
Mitch, we'll get a little bit more to this coming up in the next segment, but real quickly, looking at this Tennessee team, what do you like about this group coming back this year? We were talking about this yesterday on the show. I mean, I think there's a chance that they could get a lot of people picking them second in the East this year behind Georgia. Now, Kentucky's going to be good. We'll see what happens on that front, and Florida with the new coaching changes they have coming in. What do you make of the group that Josh Heupel has coming back and the job that he's done thus far?
Yeah, it's funny. I was thinking when I was driving over here, if this were like 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 15 years ago, this was like right in the heart of production on our Athlon magazines in my previous life, I would be able to, you know, give you the two deep for like, you know, you want to talk Troy football? Let's do it, buddy. So I'm not as knee deep as I used to be, but obviously I know the SEC teams. And I mean, I thought Josh Heupel, you know, I like – a lot of people weren't overwhelmed by the hire. You know, you looked at his UCF trajectory, and it wasn't great. Completely wrong. You know, they were a fun team to watch, and that's what you want, especially coming off Jeremy Pruitt era.
Yes.
You want a fun team to watch, and they were a fun team. And I'm a big believer in not all 8-4 records or not all 7-6 records are created equally, and I think that's something that Tennessee can point to. I mean, I'm looking at their lead, you know, the Pitt game could have gone either way. Obviously, the Purdue game could have gone either way. The Alabama game ended up being a lopsided, but they were right there, I think, into the third quarter.
Yep.
And so this was a consistently competitive team, which bodes well. Obviously, Hooker coming back, and I know there are obviously some departures at the skill positions, but they know how to use skill players, and they've recruited well at those positions. Concerns on the defensive line, you know, like a lot of teams. But, you know, second place is there for the taking. You know, Florida might be – correct me if I'm wrong. Florida was maybe the one game where they were wire to wire, sort of outclassed. I don't know what word you want to say, but –
Florida was worse. They hung around with Georgia
game.
For a while.
Yeah, they hung around a little bit.
A little bit.
I believe. So – you know, Florida, I'm not sold on their quarterback. Is Anthony Richardson the guy there? I like what Billy Napier, you know, I think he's a good coach. I think he will do well there. But they don't exactly scare you with their offensive personnel right now. So, you know, Kentucky, there's going to be a lot of Kentucky momentum in the predictions. But I think second's there for the taking.
And by the way, you do agree that Tennessee got completely screwed in the Purdue game by the officials, and that officiating needs to be looked at closely, right? I want to make sure.
I don't blame
the officiating,
Joe.
Okay.
I'm not like you. I don't just blame the refs.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on college football. Thanks, 615-737-1025. Continue to look ahead at Tennessee and their season coming up. We'll get to Vanderbilt and Clark Lee in year two as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game. I got some tickets to give away to see the Sounds take on the Louisville Bats coming up on Sunday at First Horizon Park. Be caller number 3-615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a four-pack of tickets coming up to see the Sounds and the Bats on Sunday at First Horizon Park. 615-737-1025. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Mitch Light, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing all things college football. Nate on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, "Hey, Mitch, with the way NIL busted out with no regulations, you said you could see it be regulated in the next 2 or 3 years. How would they do that after a few years of no regulation?" This is coming from Nate on the text line.
Good question, Nate.
As I said before, I have no idea. That's the big question. Like I said, there seems to be more momentum from a college football only of the Power Five peeling off and forming their own alliance, whatever you want to call it, and then that's easier to govern. It's a smaller group. You can start from scratch, so to speak. Like, the problem now is, like, with so many things in life and all facets of life, it's like if you were starting college football from now, like now, there were so many things you would change, but it's just evolved over the last 80, 100 years, and it's just so crazy. There's so many things, you know, we love it, but it's just such part of the reason we love it. It's just such a crazy sport. So I don't have the answer to that question, but it's definitely being talked about in athletic departments and conference offices and stuff. So, you know, we'll just have to see how this thing unfolds.
Yeah, I don't know what they can really do. I mean, they can do things that will then push the market back underground.
Well, they're not going to scale back. They're not going to end NIL just to say,
no.
Yeah.
But if there's some sort of, like, again, guardrails. So yeah. Is that a number? Are we talking about actual numbers?
Legally, no way you can do that.
I wouldn't think so. Right. Well, I mean, I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, the Supreme Court has.
I was about to say, with the Supreme Court case, what are they going to do?
But look what they're. I mean, look what they're talking about last week. I mean, it's like, basically, it's like, is this just a Hail Mary? Because from what we understand legally, and I'm no legal expert, but I did hear what the Supreme Court unified on something, which never happens, said. Doesn't that mean you can't do it?
Yeah,
but they're trying to do something.
Then I was thinking to myself, as you were talking, maybe there's just a market correction, and people realize this isn't the wisest way to spend money. But then if you've got 60 schools in 59 collectives or whatever think that's not the wisest way. Well, you still have 6 that do, or you have one that does,
and now
Nick
they
Saban
win.
Gets pissed, you know. You
yeah,
know?
And now exactly. They get all the player. I mean, yeah, you know, like, yeah. I think one thing that would help all of the craziness and you know, like you said, it is tough for coaches now. I think, you know, NIL deals can help in a way, because if you do essentially lock a player into a place, at least, right? I mean, it's sort of like you're going to get this if you stay, and that's what some of them have been written that way.
Yeah, and so some people think that's going to help curb the transfer issue.
Yes, which is at least something, because I do think that there's a, like, fans who are like, I wanted the amateurism, like, okay, you're just delusional, but I get the idea of, I don't like that there's different players every year, and now my favorite player is playing for a rival. Like, I get why, from the fan experience.
Jordan Addison at Pitt. That's like that's like everyone's fear. You've got the best wide receiver in the country who basically is on the open market to transfer.
So from a fan experience and, like, good for the game perspective, I do feel there's, like, at least less movement would. And frankly, I do agree with these coaches who are like, okay, so every time you just get demoted on the depth chart, like, we had Fulmer and say, every time something bad goes, okay, bye. I mean, like, if that's how you're going to live your life, it's really not the way you want to do it. You should have the freedom, but I do think there's a lot of bad decisions being made, and probably way more bad than good.
So, Mitch, one thing that we've talked about for a long time when it comes to Tennessee is, can they find that elite quarterback again in recruiting? And look, Hendon Hooker played great last year, and there's going to be high expectations on him, but there's a Nico mania taking Knoxville by storm right now. I think it's probably fair to say at this point he is going to be the most highly anticipated recruit since Peyton Manning walked through the door there in Knoxville. What do you think of that commitment for Tennessee, and what do you think of the idea of a true five-star quarterback and what a guy like him can do, not only on the field but in terms of recruiting for Heupel in Tennessee as well?
Well, yeah, it's a program that has recruited the quarterback position well in 10 years, but not to this level.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I looked this up recently, a lot of top 100 guys, a lot of high four stars, because not all four stars are career equal. You can have a kid who's 50th in the country and 325. Those are both four stars. And, from what I know about Nico, I mean, evaluators rave about him, but the personality, the Pied Piper, you know, he's what showed up to that in Knoxville wearing Tennessee pajama yeah. pants, basically, that Joe's wearing right now.
Yeah.
So,
tell the Vandy fans.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure, though, on him, and there's a pressure on the coaching staff. You know, the minute he walks through that door, and they're like, Tennessee fans can be a little overzealous, overbearing. I don't know what the word is. But
passionate?
Yeah, all that stuff. we all know that's what makes it a great program. That's what has held it back at times. So there's going to be a lot of pressure on Nico to perform, but it's no doubt, you know, if you're a top-level quarterback and you're looking for a place to play, Tennessee right now has proven with what Josh Heupel did with that offense last year a good place to go, and they know how to utilize their skill position players. So, and will it help recruiting? Of course, it will help recruiting. And if he plays as a freshman and does well, that will it just gets the ball rolling. But Tennessee's a program, and I always it's funny on our podcast. Real quick tangent. Ari's maybe 32 and doesn't understand anything that happened before he was like 17. So
except that filet of fish was a classic
exactly.
Sandwich.
So I've lived here. Went to school here in the early 90s, lived here most of the time since then. Like, I was around when Tennessee won a national championship. I've seen Tennessee be really good. Ari just says, oh, they stink, you know, so they're never going to recruit at that level. I was like, no, Ari, just look at history. And there's no reason Texas A&M can't bring elite players. There's no reason Tennessee can't bring elite players. You know what? They've done it in the past, and they appear to be doing it now.
Before we have to ask Vandy Mitch about Vandy.
And Vandy Joe.
You hate Vandy, by the way, don't you?
I do.
As a Vanderbilt alum, you hate Vandy.
The word. Yes, the word. Yes. I never say it. I won't. I don't know what you're talking about.
I say it a lot.
I know.
It's shorter.
We're not a newspaper where we're limited and like.
yeah, there's.
Back in the day, I get it. I get it. Back in the day. So.
But before I do want to ask you about them, but first I want to throw a hot take. I want you guys to take note of this.
Okay.
Tennessee football, 2023. Starting quarterback, Joe Milton. Absolutely. Joe Milton is the Tennessee starting quarterback.
You can't quit Joe Milton, can you?
No, he can't.
I've had a conversation this week about Joe Milton that was almost mind-blowing. It was so interesting. I'm telling you.
Are they increasing the size of the football field to 140 yards? Then maybe he's a little more effective.
They could be playing on an aircraft carrier. What's going on?
That's fine. You guys, hey, get all your jokes in now. Get them all in now.
Okay, how about this? All right. Over, under games he starts in 2023 then?
What would be the appropriate over-under? Or what would my over-under be?
Well, yours would be like 15 because you're in the national championship.
Winning the natty.
I'll say
I'll take the under.
Nico transfers to Alabama. Yeah. It'd be a great time for Tennessee fans.
6.5. He's going to be a true freshman. I know. But this is
– true freshman never play anymore.
Yeah, it'll be a six-year senior.
Okay.
I'm just saying, but true freshmen, sometimes they do have to wait a little bit, too. They're not snapping the fingers ready. Vanderbilt, what's your feeling on Clark Lee and that program heading into year two?
I think you just want to see progress. Like I said before, not all records are created equally. And, you know, they were, for the most part, uncompetitive last year, but they showed progress. They clearly were better offensively down the stretch, and that kind of brings a quarterback dilemma. Mike Wright. The offense moved better with Mike Wright. Was that because they got better and they started understanding things better and the offensive line was better? And if Ken Seals hadn't gotten hurt, would they have been able to move the ball like they did a little bit better? I like what they're doing in recruiting. It's for, not just because they had a number 32 class, but you talk to people like, you know, I think Barton Simmons is doing a good job kind of finding the right type of athlete that they want there. So I just think if you're a Vanderbilt fan, you just want to see progress in year two. You don't want to – you know, the thing that was alarming last year, and I have a Michigan buddy who was asking me,
about Jesse Minter?
Yeah, about Jesse Minter. I was like, you know, it seems like he's a good coach, but, I mean, you watched Vanderbilt last year. The first drives of games, teams went through them like Colorado State looked like Tennessee, and and
coaching adjustments.
Yeah. Well. Then how about pregame prep? You can look at it both ways. So, like, I'm not an X's and O's guy, but I was alarmed sometimes watching how easily teams. Hey, the South Carolina game. I think South Carolina went up and down the field twice, and then I think they shut them out until the very end, and then they went up and down the field. So, I think you want to see some stability in the coaching staff. I mean, each one of the guys who left, you could say, left for a better opportunity. but you still need some stability. I mean, they had five position coaches turnover. So, you know, again, it's just progress. I'm not going to sit here and say they need to go 6-6 and go to a bowl game. You know, at a certain point in year three or four, you need to start seeing more wins. But I think you just need to see some progress.
And some young players from this class maybe helping, because there's probably some opportunity there.
No doubt.
Before we let you go, our friend Heidi from Dixon on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mitch should rate Joe from 1 to 10 at his job. I'm very curious.
Oh, boy.
Wow. Well, we do have official reviews, right?
Yeah, we do. You can share. Well, don't share, like, the parts where you swore. And I was kind of surprised you wrote out the F-bomb in some of
those. Yeah, really.
Although we can do that at
this
rec
show. Yeah, exactly. A scale of 1 to 10, Joe, I'll give him a 9.2.
Wow.
Oh, man.
I don't know if that's what Heidi was looking for.
Okay, Heidi, 3. How about that?
There we go.
Do you like pedicures?
I do not.
Okay.
Have you ever had one? That's not what Heidi's looking for either.
Okay. Well, Mitch is on the pedicure train with Heidi then.
Could be.
I'm not on any pedicure train.
Mitch. I had one. It was really unsettling.
Okay. Mitch Light from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rextra. Mitch, great stuff as always. Appreciate you coming in. We'll have to do this again soon.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Thanks, we'll come back. We'll take your thoughts. 615-737-1025. John Hines apparently has a new contract extension, according to Adam Vingut of The Athletic. We'll take your reaction to that next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game.